Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Today, we are concluding our series, Name Above All Names. It's been a fantastic series, and this series could run all year because there's so many names of God, over 90 names of God, but we haven't had time to do that. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into the final name that we're going to tackle in this series, and I'm believing God's going to do something really unique and special today. Father, we just thank you for your names. I thank you that every time we unpack a name, it shows us more of who you are, more of the attributes, your grace, your love, your forgiveness towards. And I pray tonight that you would help us, Father, help us just really gravitate closer to you. I pray for those who are watching and maybe they've just zoomed in, or maybe they've just connected online by accident, Father, but I pray that you would help them just stay on over these next few minutes, because I believe that God wants to speak to mums and dads and young adults and young people, Lord, and I thank you that you're going to bless and provide for every person who's watching. I pray for an outbreak of unusual miracles to take place off the back of this message in Jesus' name. Come on, shout amen. Where's my Zoom wall? There they are. Come on, Andy Jones. There we go. All right. Abraham was the father, the patriarch of the Jewish people. But like all great leaders, or all leaders, throughout his life, he faced many tests. In fact, in the Old Testament, we can read about 9 tests, specific tests that Abraham faced as a leader. And his first test was he was tested with death. He refused to worship an evil king by the name of Nimrod, and he was threatened with his life. I don't know if you've been threatened with your life, but it's not a nice experience. The second test was he was tested with not being able to bear children. I know many of you have had that test. But in old age, he bore Isaac to Sarah. Sarah was 90 years old. I don't want to go into too much graphic detail, but that means that 89, the fire was still burning, if you're picking up what I'm saying. But I don't want to go into that. Let me tell you, that was a test in itself. But let me tell you, these tests don't get any easier, because his third test, now block your ears if you are a little squeamish. God asks him to circumcise himself at 99 years old. Now, don't write to me, it's the Bible. Send King James an email. Now, there's 2 issues here for me. One, you're 99, and 2, you've got to do it yourself. Now, if you switch over to another church service right now, I don't blame you. Okay, so we'll just move on to his next test, the fourth test. He was tested when his wife Sarah was kidnapped and taken to Egypt. Now, some of you were in lockdown with your wife for 4 months, and you're thinking, that's not a bad... No, I'm kidding. But his biggest test, it laid ahead. I want to set the scene. In Old Testament times, to get God's attention, people would have to sacrifice things. They would have to sacrifice animals, a bull or a goat. And their blood would get God's attention, or they would sacrifice incense to get his attention. There needed to be a great cost. There needed to be a great sacrifice for God to hear them. Now, thankfully, we don't need to kill a bull or a goat or pour out a 500-pound bottle of Chanel perfume to get God's attention. We can go directly to God in prayer at any time. But God required one more test of Abraham. He said, I want you to take your only son, the son that I gave you at 90 years old, and I want you to take him. And I want you to sacrifice it. This was the son that they'd waited 25 years for. God had promised Abraham a son in his 70s. And they waited 25 years for a baby. And God was saying to Abraham, are you prepared to give me what's closest and dearest to you? Often God requires what's closest and dearest to us. We're going to read this story in Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to read a little more text than I usually would. So please stick with us today. God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love," verse 2, which was Isaac. "Go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Hang on, that's gruesome. You're a dad or a mum out there, that's gruesome. Let's skip to verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him, Abraham built an altar there. He arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. This is crazy. Then he reached out his hand and he took a knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on your boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, and because you have not withheld me, your son, your only son." And Abraham looked up there in the thicket. He saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it instead as a burnt offering, instead of his son. So Abraham called this place, here it is, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. In this moment, which could have been a bloodbath moment for Abraham's son, we see another aspect of God's character coming through. One of his names is revealed in this moment. Now in Hebrew, which this verse would have been written in originally, it would translate into Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. In other versions, Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees. God was no longer just God the creator. God was no longer just God the judge. Another attribute of his character appears. He is now a provider. When I first met Chantel, two things jumped out at me immediately. One of them was this: she was piping hot. And two, I won't go into that. And two, she was super funny. The very first time we met, she was just beautiful and she made me laugh. Straight away, they were her first two attributes I noticed. Now we've been married 14.6 years. She's still hot and she's still funny. But here's the deal. There's much more than just being super funny and super hot. And in Genesis, we first see God as the creator, and then we see him as a judge, but then we see him as a provider. Throughout scripture, the more we read about God, the more of his nature we see. This is why the more time you spend meditating on God's word, he will reveal more of himself to you. The more attributes you will see, the more you will fall in love with him. This is the deal. The reason I've fallen more in love with Chantel over 14 and a half years is because the more time I spend with her, I see the qualities that God has given her. I see her character, and I want to be around her more. It's the same with God. If you step away from God's word, you step away from his character. And the outcome of this story was, instead of a bloodbath of a young, innocent boy, the narrative turns into God, the provider. From this passage, I want us to unwrap three attributes absorbed in the name of Jehovah Jireh. I want you to write these three things down. Are you ready, Zoom wall? Just keeping an eye on you. We're coming back. Ooh. What were we? Steven Sanderson, are you there? You're not watching the football, are you? Just checking. All the good teams played last week and lost. Okay, three attributes of Jehovah Jireh. Number one is this: the God who sees. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven. He's about to slaughter his only son, and God shouts out through an angel, and he says this: "Abraham, Abraham." In the middle of Abraham's pain, his disappointment, probably a lot of resentment towards God, God shouts out, he says, "I see, I see your pain. Jehovah Jireh, in more recent translations, is God who provides. But in earlier translations, it says he's the God who sees. I think the first thing we need to understand right now is God sees everything that we're facing. God sees everything. God sees your lack. God sees your need. God sees your issue. God sees your loss. God sees your pain. God sees what the last 4 months have looked like for you. Closed, separated, isolated. We've got to learn to see how God sees. God doesn't just see the moment, God sees the miracle. God doesn't just see time, he sees overtime. God doesn't just see insight, he sees foresight. God doesn't just see now, he sees the future. God sees, it's who he is. And in that moment, Abraham had to trust God. We've got to learn to see through the problem, not just at the problem. And right now, I can choose to stare at an empty room. A camera lens. And if I'm honest, declining church numbers, like the majority of pastors in our country, as people decide that the golf course or different things is more important than attending church. And I get it, because it's just this, it's online. And it can get you down and you can get disappointed, even as a pastor. But I've got to choose to imagine your beautiful faces looking back at me. And instead of looking at large declining numbers, I've got to decide to start looking at individual lives that have been changed in this season. God sees a room full of worshipers again at 4 Mason Road. God sees you full of health. God sees you fully blessed. God sees you on holiday. God sees it different to what I see. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, I walk by faith, not by sight. Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees. We've got to live believing. Think of a blind person with a guide dog. They walk by faith in that dog. They believe in what the dog can see. And it'll be translated into a signal from them to stop or go. Why does that blind person trust that dog? Because he has something that he doesn't have. It's called sight. Why do we trust God? Because he has something that we don't have. He has eternal sight. And if I can stay connected to the Bible, his word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Today it might be unclear what God is doing, where he is taking you, what on earth is going on, but can I encourage you, hold on to God even when it makes no sense. The blind man at the traffic light, he's not questioning the dog. He's going, if the dog says stop, I'm going to stop. Right now, our world is stopped. We can question God. Why? Or we can trust him and say, right now, your plans are bigger than our plans. For I know the thoughts and the plans I have towards you, soul church. Thoughts to bless you, to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for you and your business. 2012, I was watching television in Cape Town. Chantel was in the kitchen washing up. I can remember where I was sitting, and I can remember exactly where I was looking at Chantel. I remember in that moment, this name dropped into my head. Soul Church, 2012, 8 years ago. Soul Church. Didn't say anything to anybody. Didn't even mention it to Chantel. I didn't know what it meant. I literally just got a name. It didn't even come on television. I just got this name. I turned this television off and I wrote it down. And then went on a website and I put soulchurch.com to see what it meant. And all it said is, this web domain is for sale. $2,500. And I didn't know what it meant. So the best thing to do when you don't know what it means is call mum. I called mum. I said, mum, I need some money, because I didn't have $2,500. That's like 45 million rand. I said, I said, Mom, I need $2,500. She said, what for? I said, because I've got this name, Soul Church. I don't know what it means. I don't know why I need to buy it, but I need to buy this website. And she said, well, let's do it. So we bought soulchurch.com. No one knew. I shared it with Chantel. It was 4 years later that Soul Church began. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. I didn't realize that God was dropping seeds into my thoughts. God was beginning to prepare a name. I'm telling you, that name will have been taken 10 times over now. In fact, we've had people, can we buy that name off you? But God had it placed. God had us significantly placed in this city, at this time, in this nation. Come on, would you believe to start seeing how God sees? The God who sees. Maybe God is going to give you a glimpse. I didn't know, it was just a tiny window. It was like he gave me something on credit for the future. Tiny little glimpse. Little did I know that we deliver 6 years later, 8 years later, we'd have be announcing tonight that we delivered 8 million, 5 million, no, 500,000. Maybe that's even more prophetic. There we go. There you go. There's your job cut out for the next 6 months. 500,000 from Soul Church. But where did it start? The God who sees. The God. Now I wonder. Wonder what you're not seeing that God is seeing. The God who sees, number two, is the God who supplies. Jehovah Jireh is the God who sees. Then he is the God who supplies. Verse 13 says, Abraham looked up, and in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Who thinks that's a pretty good trade? I mean, that's pretty good if you're a dad. Write this down. God doesn't just see, he supplies. God didn't just see Soul Church. He said, you know what? I'm going to supply for you too. When I was a child, just like you, if I needed something, I would talk to my dad. Sometimes I needed something expensive like a BMX bicycle. Now here's the deal. Never once as a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old did I ever worry about how expensive or where dad was going to get the money for my expensive taste. My issue is this. That ain't my problem. That's his problem. My problem is choosing the bike. My problem is making sure I get what I want. My problem is making sure that you supply what I need. So many times we try and figure out what belongs to God. It's not your job to figure out how God is going to provide for you. It's your job to see how God sees and ask him for his supply. The Bible says in James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. I think the message here is we've got to worry less and ask more. Instead of worrying, we've got to pray about it. Supply isn't what God does, it's who he is. God is the provider. It is one of his names. Romans 8:32. Paul's speaking. He says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he give us everything else? If God has solved the biggest problem of humanity, which is where we are going to spend eternity, do you think that your gas bill or your MOT or where you're going to spend your next season in life is a problem for God? If God would not spare his one and only son, let me tell you, he can get us out of the muddle that we find ourselves in. Do you think he loves you enough to help you with your health? With your relationships, with closing that deal, with your deadline, there is no area of your life that God is not interested in. He already knows what Chantel and I need. But here's the deal, he still wants us to ask for it. Write this one down. Your supply is determined by your source. This is important. Your supply is determined by your source. Every time, and this is a little life lesson from John. Every time I have ever looked to an individual, a family member, a business person, or someone that I have thought up to be my supply, it has failed. Every single time. Because my source is in the wrong place. Now here's the deal. God knows that we need things. God knows that you need a car upgrade. God knows that you need your car to pass the MOT. God knows that you need to pay your rent. God knows absolutely everything. But here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to bypass who you think is going to supply it and go directly to the source, which is him. He doesn't want you to think, he doesn't want you to try and outthink the way he's planned to bless you. So here's what we do. We go straight to Jehovah Jireh and say, Jehovah Jireh, God my Father, you see my need. You can see right now that the fridge is blown up and the yogurt's going off. Rather than go, God, would you just tell my dad to bless me? Bypass what you think is the supply and go directly to the source and say, God, I trust that you will choose whoever you need to help me get my fridge fixed. Because the moment you put your trust in man, they will fail you. They will. And so God, and here's what happens. Relationships get spared. Because when someone doesn't help you, you don't feel let down. And let me tell you, God will bless you and he will supply your need from the absolute craziest of sources. It will come from places that you can never imagine, never expected. Put your trust in God. Take your trust off a person, off an employer, off an investment. Put your trust solely in God. God will never fail you. He said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is my source and he chooses how he supplies. Love it. Right now as a church, we need to test the resources of heaven. We need to ask God for miracles. It looks like our rent-free lease agreement after 4 months is coming to an end in our Soul Foundation warehouse. We need a bigger building. We need a free one. So God, if you're listening, and I know you are, and I know you love the people of Norwich and Norfolk, we need a bigger warehouse. Please, can we have it for free? Thank you. Amen. Pretty cool, eh? Now, here's the deal. I'm not putting that on any individual. I'm putting that at Jesus' feet. Because he said, bring your cares to me, because I care for you. Now, why don't we take our eyes off people and parents and others who should, and maybe they should, but let's put our eyes to the source. He is the God who sees. He is the God who supplies. And finally, number three, he is the God who sends. Verse 17 says this. God is speaking to Abraham. He's saying, now that you've seen what I can do, now I've supplied your need. Here's the next bit. I'm going to bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of the enemies. Wait for this. And through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. God doesn't just see your need. God doesn't just supply your need. He sends you to help others in need. In other words, I am the answer to somebody else's prayer. I want you to write that down. You are the answer to somebody else's prayer. It's so easy, and trust me, I've been guilty of this, to have the attitude of my needs, my lack, my challenges, my debt. We live in the Me Too generation. But look at me. Look at my situation. God is imploring of us today. He's saying, will you be the answer to someone else's need. We hit the 500,000 meals milestone, as we've said this week. Families and single parents and those trapped in poverty. Just maybe, and I don't know, but maybe when things got really tough, maybe they cried out in their hour of need. Somebody care. Somebody listen. Somebody help. The stories that have come in of when we knock on the door and we stand there with a food parcel and the response is, thank you, somebody cares. The little sticker on every ketchup jar, on every roll, it says, Jesus cares. Because we want them to know that Soul Foundation is not their source. Soul Foundation is not their supply. That Jesus is the source of it all. But He uses us. This week we received this letter from a single mum. She said, Dear Soul Foundation, thank you enough. We can't thank you enough for the food parcels we've been delivering each week. They truly have been a lifeline to us in this crisis. The kiddies look forward to seeing what treats are inside, and we're so thankful for support during this time. We cannot wait until church reopens to visit. Thank you so much to everyone at Soul Foundation for all your hard work. We can't say thanks enough. You see, Jehovah Jireh, He's the source. He's the supply. But He's also, He's the sender. God is sending you to someone this week to be the answer to their prayer. I've realized this, that my coffee money is someone else's grocery money. What I can spend on a coffee in Starbucks is what a family can live on for a day. My phone call could be that lifeline that she just spoke about. Those five people that we talked about right at the beginning of the service, it's not just a tick a box exercise. It's because that one phone call could be someone who said, I'm one step away from taking my life, but You're the supply of life. You're the lifeline that person needs. You're the phone call that they need. You could be the person who keeps believing in the guy at work who everyone else has given up on. Your little is someone else's big miracle. The little boy comes to Jesus with his tuna and his French roll. He says, this is all I have, but Jesus, You take it. And Jesus says, you know what? You're the supply. I might be the source, but You are the supply. So right now, just give it to me. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to hand it out and see how we go. You know the rest of the story. 5,000 plus people were fed that day. He was the answer to 5,000 hungry bellies. You are the answer to someone's miracle. God doesn't want you to see you. He doesn't want to supply. He wants to send you this week. We can't look inward. We've got to look outward as a church. It's not just talking about money. It can be prayer. We were on our date night on Tuesday night, Chantel and I, and it was bikes and burgers, which basically means you bike off all the burger calories. So we biked into town and we had a Five Guys. Obviously, I just had a tiny little burger and a little salad, and Chantel went crazy, but you know, that's for a different. But here's the deal. On the way back, we biked through the UEA, the university, and felt so empty in there, and that there's no one around. It was all locked up. It also felt pretty lost. And I was biking up this hill all on my own. I just began to pray. And this was the prayer I prayed. I said, God, I want to be the answer to the prayers of parents who are going to send their students to this university. Maybe you're watching, you're a parent, and your daughter or son is going to come to the uni, and you're thinking, is there a church, or would someone care? We want you to know that God sees and God supplies, and I want you to know that when they come, we're going to love them, we're going to look after them. So I want you to know that we can be the answer to that prayer right now. And I began to pray and I began to call down God on that university. I said, God, start a revival. I'm praying that our young adults are going to start prayer walking that university. And while it's dead, and right now we're going to see something come to life, and we're going to see a revival on that campus. I want to pray dangerous prayers. Because you are the answer to someone's prayer. My prayer on that bicycle with a burger-filled belly could be the answer to some parent, could be the answer to some student who's lost his way. God would ignite something in you. I think there's a big difference between selfless and selfish prayers. I think so many times our prayers are selfish. They're safe. God wants us to begin to pray dangerous prayers. So many times our prayers just involve our needs. But today I want us to pray this. God, I want you to send me to be the answer to someone's problem. Whether it's physically, financially, whether it's time, whether it's bring peace into a situation. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I only want you to pray that prayer if you're willing to be inconvenienced. Because God will answer that prayer pretty quick. We're all here today because someone was inconvenienced. We're all here today because someone responded to the call that God doesn't just see. He doesn't just supply, He sends. Maybe God is laying on your heart to do something for someone, whether it's to gift them something, to bless someone. And just as Abraham was obedient with his only son, God sees it, God supplies, but God sends. Can we pray? Thank you, God. Father, I thank you right now for every individual, every family who's watching. And Father, you already see the great need in our world, the great need in our homes, in our families, in our church, in our communities. You see it. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just see need, we would see how you see it. That you can turn all things around. As we remember during communion, where there is brokenness, it can become whole. Father, we saw the need at the start of COVID, and we didn't just see it, we responded to it. I thank you for every box of food that's gone out of our church into the homes of those who need it most. And I pray, Lord, that people would understand that God doesn't just see them, He supplies for them. Pray that people would understand that you are the source of our supply. I pray right now for every single need in our church. I pray that you would first reveal yourself to people that you see, that you care and you love. Secondly, that you supply. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. I speak supply right now where there is lack. I speak miracles where there is need. I speak breakthrough where is needed. Father, right now, I thank you that jobs are coming. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to bless investments. I thank you, Lord, that where there is lack, there is supply in the name of Jesus. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. I pray right now we would take our eyes of anyone or anything other than you to be our source. We're sorry, God, for when we've put the onus, the pressure, the responsibility onto someone else. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing that. Today, you are the source of our supply. Father, we have a new building in the future. Lord, we have a huge faith gap of around £3 to £4 million. And Father, right now, you see that. And I want to pray right now that you would meet that gap. I pray for miracles this week. I thank you that you are the source and you choose the suppliers. I pray for an abundance, an outbreak of miracles in our church this week as we take our eyes off people and we place our eyes onto you, the source, the provision of all things. Father, finally, we recognize you as the one who sends. You said to Abraham, I will bless you to be a great blessing to the nations. So, Father, I pray that we would be inconvenienced this week. Lord, that a prayer of a mom or a dad or someone in another country, another place, Lord, that it would fall on our lap, Father God, and we would be the miracle that people are looking for. God, choose me. I want you to say that right now. God, choose me. God, choose me. God, choose me to be the answer to someone else's prayer. If you say, God, choose me, he will. God, choose me. We thank you, God. We thank you. We're going to sing right now. And I want us to take this and I want us to remember that he is the God who sees. He is the God who supplies. And he is the God who sends. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's declare this out. Amen.
What a beautiful name it is.
Friend, wherever you're listening to me right now, whether it's in your living room, whether you're driving in a car, whether you're out for a run on another continent, would you give me a moment? Give me a moment to ask you the most important question anyone can ever ask you. Are you in a right relationship with Jesus? We just heard an incredible message. Number one, that God sees you. He sees you, friend, wherever you are. I'm looking at a camera, but God is looking at you. And he sees you. Secondly, God supplies. We all have needs. We have maybe physical needs. God can meet them. We have emotional needs. God can meet them. But your most important need is a spiritual need. A spiritual need. And friend, you can look to many places to meet that need, but only God can meet that deep need. You say, how do I allow God to meet that need? You pray a simple but a powerful prayer, and he'll come into your life. He will forgive you of your past. He'll give you meaning and purpose today, to your day, to your now. And then thirdly, he will send you into your future, because God sees, God supplies, and God will send you. So friend, if you're honest enough, say, Steve, I need God. I'm just not right with him. And you can pray in this moment, and God will see, God will supply, and then he'll send you. It makes such a difference. So I'm going to pray a prayer. You just pray along with me in your heart, and God's going to hear it. So, Lord Jesus, we look to you. I know I've done wrong. I acknowledge my need of you. So in this private moment, I invite you in. Come into my heart. Make me whole. And from this day forward, with your help and strength, I will live for you. That's a powerful prayer. You may not understand everything about God, but know this, he heard that prayer. And if you prayed that prayer, I'd encourage you to do three simple but practical things. Number one, let us know. Either text that number that's on your screen, that's right, get your phone out, take a picture, or you'll see there's an address there you can email in. Just let us know. We'll be celebrating and cheering you on. One of our team will call you and encourage you. The second thing is, download the Bible. We'll show you there on the screen an app that, you know, you can learn to read the Bible. If you say, I'm not much of a reader, you can actually listen to it while you're going on in the car. It's going to help you grow and move forward. And then thirdly, just keep tuning in to online church. The day will come when you can be with us or wherever you are at in your city. But for now, just keep tuning in, keep learning. That is a phenomenal decision, friend. We want to congratulate you. We're cheering you on. Amazing. Life-changing.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.